Hello and welcome to the Wonder What podcast. My name is Rob.
And I'm Robbie.
And we are here, aren't we?
Again.
We're here to talk to you.
Guess how long it's been since we've been here.
How long has it been?
I mean, guess.
Oh, it's a guessing game.
Just for you.
An hour.
No.
I feel like we've never left. What do you mean? Okay, it's been a month. A month?
It's been two.
Come on.
August. I think not quite two, but very close to that. It's August 9th, and today's October 1st.
Wow. Well, I guess we're a little behind.
There's a reason for that. We'll talk about it later.
We will talk about it later. But in the meantime, we'll talk about other stuff.
That's right.
What are we here to talk about, Robbie?
All things Eastgate.
Ah.
And a few other things.
I think that sounds great. We can talk about Eastgate stuff, and we can talk about other things.
We're skilled like that.
We got all kinds of things we could talk about. When it comes to talking, we can just yammer. I'm doing a good job of it right now.
Apologize in advance, yes.
Okay. So, where do we begin, my fine woman?
Well, I just want to, I think I mention this every time, but we've come a long ways on this with our online feed. And we got.
Oh, you're talking about for the Sunday services.
Yes.
Yes.
For Eastgate's live feed. And then we also do record. There's kind of two recordings usually that happen every week. One is just the live feed is automatically recorded by YouTube. So from the time we turn the feed on till the time we turn it off, it's just kind of a raw feed. And that's usually just automatically posted up there by YouTube. But then we record internally just the teaching and then post that up later with...
Our YouTube channel.
Yeah, on our YouTube channel and categorize it and put it in a folder. And so anyway... We got that new computer. It's super awesome and super fast.
You guys are amazing.
We're still trying to work out a few of the bugs. The sound is ahead of the video.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that one out. Why? Well, we've got a separate feed coming. Anybody who is a technophile, somebody who knows about this stuff, if you can kind of give us hints as to we've got a separate feed coming in from our soundboard that goes into our video capture computer.
And then the video comes through IP cameras with the volume turned off.
Yeah.
So we are loading two separate items.
Two separate things, and they're not synced. And they're not exactly sure how to get that
Yeah,
synced.
We found a delay option. I say we, Kevin, Stephanie, and I, and we've been playing around with it. But it has this weird thing that to change the audio, you have to shut down VidBlaster.
Sorry. I thought you were going to say something else.
Nope, not that. No,
that's what everybody does when everything's falling apart.
Yeah, so you have to shut the feed down and then reopen it or stop the stream and then restart it. And so if anybody has ever watched the feed online, all of a sudden it'll go dead and you think it's all broken and it's over and hopeless. But if you just refresh the page within a minute or so, you'll see a new feed. Come on.
We'll get
it
figured out. It'll happen.
Either way, it works. Everything works. It's just the slight delay.
And in case people don't know, you guys have just done an amazing job. I mean, these are people, everybody's jumping in there. Robbie and Kefany. That's Kevin and Stephanie.
Right.
It's just easier to say. But Robin and Kefany have jumped in there and been working so much. They put in a ton of time trying to rework the whole system and... They don't get paid or anything.
No, they don't. They rewired the networks. We had a separate network for the IP cameras, and they just wanted to simplify things. And so they rewired it and hooked them all up to the same one. They were on the phone with Knowledge for an hour.
That was a fun experience from what I understand.
That was hilarious from what I heard, too. It was a Sunday afternoon. They came in, and Kevin was basically telling the Knowledge guy or WoW guy, you know, how everything works in the IT world. So trying to get his help was challenging, but he eventually got it. And, you know,
and retained his Christianity in the process, which is pretty cool.
I'm not sure about Stephanie because she's going crazy listening on the other side. But either way, we're working on it and it's coming together. And, I know one Sunday last week, I think it was a week ago yesterday, there was actually an internet outage in Panama City Beach.
Oh, right.
And they showed me, I wasn't there that Sunday, and they sent me a little picture of it. And it was like a tiny little raindrop in the map of Bay County of right where we were. And so they were tearing their hair out trying to figure out what's wrong. We've got all this new computer and everything.
So this time it wasn't our fault.
This time it wasn't. So there's nothing we can do about that. Yeah. Although we are still able to record internally and we're able to upload the teaching. Just not that live feed didn't work very well. So
oh, well.
It happens.
It happens. It's technology. I mean, you know,
We do the best we can.
That's right.
And we're not paying for the feed because it's all YouTube Live. And so that makes me feel better. There were times we paid monthly to mm-hmm. have a live streaming. And when that didn't work, that really just killed me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like was, we're paying that was for painful. This and it doesn't work.
Correct.
But apart from having to buy a new computer and have to
but
pay
that's
for
a one time,
service.
That's a one-time yeah, cost exactly. on something like that. So
yeah, we should hopefully be able to go helpful. Another good 10 years on that.
Based on the way we do things.
That's right.
So are there things going on at Eastgate that we need to talk about?
Yeah, there's several upcoming events. One of them is the marriage conference, and I think we mentioned that last time. I'm not sure if we had the dates yet, but that's October 18th and 19th, and you can sign up for that on our website. It's a Friday night and a Saturday, and there's childcare available if you want it. And
yeah, I think this is going to be great. I'm really looking yeah. forward to this.
Yeah, Joe and Stacy got up and shared about it this Sunday, a couple days ago, I guess it is. And they've already attended this conference and they loved it. They go to marriage conferences regularly just to kind of, you know, just stay
see
on top
what's going
of the relationship.
On. That's right.
And
it takes work mm-hmm. to have a good marriage relationship. And this is part of that. It
yeah.
doesn't necessarily have to be a marriage conference, but right. something that helps you to attune to your partner and know how to carry out this thing called sharing a life together. That's an
right.
important aspect of it.
Yes, exactly.
It's the stuff that the movies never show you.
Yeah. Yeah, those are so annoying sometimes. You and I hadn't thought of this, but you and I are coming up on 36 years.
Oh, we are, aren't
at
we?
At the end of this month.
At the end of this month.
That's right.
Ah.
Last year, we celebrated our 35th by going up to Atlanta for a concert and had an Airbnb and came home to the hurricane a couple days
yeah,
later.
Yeah, we were doing it early
yeah.
and came home. And so on our actual anniversary, if you remember, we were having a courtyard service.
Yeah.
And
oh,
I was able
yes.
to give you flowers
oh.
in front of everybody.
That was very surprising and very, very sweet.
Yeah. Well, you know, Robbie and I, you and I, we didn't have a wedding ceremony when
right.
we got married.
Mm-hmm.
It was a crazy time in the
yeah.
crazy church. And
yeah.
there were some strange doctrines going around that somehow led us to believe that we should just
skip the ceremony
and go to a justice of the peace. And that's kind of one of those things that's been maybe haunting in the background somewhere
yeah.
there. I don't think it's meant a ton. I mean,
no,
it's
just
it's
one of those things you kind of feel like you didn't check
yeah.
that box.
Yeah. All of our kids have their wedding photos up
yeah.
on the hallway here in our house. But you and I, we had that little moment.
We did. And that was
lovely.
In
front of all our family and friends, we were able to
express
to each
other. I felt very special, very loved. And it was super sweet of you.
Well, you are super sweet. Aww. Oh, this is getting sappy.
Oh. Okay. There's other events coming up too.
Like what?
I was going to ask you.
Well, I know that the men's group is having a camp out. Whit Roberts is
yes.
organizing that. It's going to be in St. George Island, way out into the east of us.
Yes, October 31st. And Janelle, when she announced it yesterday, Sunday, the announcement, because I just imagine you guys all wearing costumes and, and having candy out there. All the guys loved that.
Yeah. A theme. Yeah. A costume themed camp out for the men. Totally makes sense. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a beautiful area. I've gone out there before. It's beautiful. And of course, I haven't been there since. I should have asked Whit about that since the hurricane.
Is St. George Island where you went before?
Yeah.
Or was it a different place?
I'm pretty sure we were out in St. George.
Because he was
Island.
Telling me, and I can't remember now which place it was, but there was one other park you guys had gone to before. Was it one that had cabins? And he said, you can't even get to it, and it'll be 3 years or more before they can get to it. There's like all these state parks on the list that need to get
yeah.
worked on. And
well, we had gone to that. They had cabins that we rented there, a cabin that everybody kind of piled into.
Uh-huh.
But then before that, I'm pretty sure on St. George Island, we just did camping. Like,
oh, okay.
Like with tents.
Yeah. So he checked it out, and that one's still good.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the other ones that wasn't. And apparently there's quite a few state parks that need a lot of work done, and they're just on the list. Yeah,
wow.
Can only do so much at once.
Well, so if you're interested in doing that, you'll want to contact Whit Roberts. I don't have his number available right now, but I believe what you can do is
go to our website, actually, and just you can submit a
query.
Uh-huh, but if you're there on Sundays, all the information's in the bulletins, too.
It is in the bulletins. And if you you can actually go to the Eastgate group, the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And inquire there as well.
Yeah, we'll try to. Yeah, you can inquire there, and then the information will get there.
But this is a month away. I mean, almost a month away. So you'll have a little bit of time to.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one or two nights. I'm not sure,
yeah.
but he's got all that info.
He did it on the 31st. See, I got
grandchildren. Kind of booked, yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what's going on, how we can figure that one out. What else is happening?
There's other small group news going on. Of course, Popcorn Parables is October 16th this month. Matt Green hosts that in the Gig Room. And this month, they're going to see The Quiet Place.
Yes.
Which is a really fun. No, not fun.
It's not fun. It's a scary movie.
Very well done movie, I thought.
It really was. But, you know, it's... I remember watching that movie in the theater and making Christ connections as I was sitting there.
Ah, that's cool.
Of course, I'm just annoying like that. But I think there's some really cool conversation that can be had about this movie. So definitely want to check that out.
There's another small group starting up too.
What is that? Oh, I remember. It's Julie Higby's going to be leading a group called Kingdom Connections.
Yes, and that one starts this month as well, and it's going to start October 13th, and it's from 8:45 to 9:45.
So in the morning,
I keep wanting to say first service, but before the main meeting at 10.
Before the main service, back in the kids' classrooms, I think it's the 4th and 5th grade classroom. They'll meet back
there. There'll be a sign there. So
it's, if you had been to Ford's Missional Essentials class, it's going to be there. And it's basically kind of following up with that, just kind of a conversational kind of meeting where we can kind of look at the different ways in which we've made connections with neighbors or co-workers or whatever, ways that we can, be able to demonstrate the kingdom of God wherever we are.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be great. I think that's going to be an encouraging meeting. I'm looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah, and I think that'll continue monthly on the second Sunday of every month. That's the plan anyway.
Right on. We always have a lot of volunteers that make Eastgate run, and so I'm sure there's somebody that we'd like to highlight today.
Yeah, I was thinking of saying this person's name. I was thinking
we will speak your name. And
I was thinking of saying the name of Kara Wootson.
Kara Wootson. Wootson.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's one of the teachers in Kidsgate. I was running around last Sunday and saw her back in the room, and she's always there early and there late cleaning up afterwards.
She is so dear.
She's amazing. She's very dedicated. She's very dependable.
She's
a regular teacher. I think she also sometimes has her fill in when someone else can't come in. So she's just Miss Dependable.
She really is. And she's just always smiling, always has an encouraging word for people in the community. So
yes,
I just appreciate someone who's willing to come in and roll up their sleeves and get involved like Kara has.
Selflessly.
And so when you're looking at Eastgate, you're thinking, man, this is a cool place. What a cool group. Well, the whole reason that it's a cool place and a cool group is because of Kara Wootson and others. Right. Who are just like her, that are sacrificing their time and their efforts and their energies to do the work of being a community, of being an outpost of the kingdom of God on earth.
Yes, absolutely.
That was like a whole sermon right there, wasn't it?
It's not difficult for you to do.
What did you say? It's like a pull string on a doll.
Yes, that's right. Well, I just wanted to mention on a personal level, too, that Cara's a really great real estate agent. She helped our daughter, Jessica, buy her first home a couple months ago, I guess it is now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if your real estate needs, you can go to her as well.
That's right. Okay. What have you been watching or reading anything new or different lately that you wanted to talk about?
Well, let's see. I've been reading poetry. Specifically, I've been reading a book of poetry by Mary Oliver called Devotions. And it's just selected poems of hers. They're just, they've been really beautiful and meaningful for me during these past weeks. Read a short little book that Craig St. Martin handed to me by Mitch Albom called Have a Little Faith. And that was just it wasn't deep theology or anything. It was just a guy's sharing his experience of getting to know his rabbi. And because his rabbi had asked him to eulogize him when he died. And so it's a very, it was a really introspective but encouraging book. I really, really enjoyed that. And then I've also been reading Exile, which is a, it's called Exile, A Conversation with N.T. Wright.
And
it's
so edited
by James M. Scott. Well, he's talking about the concept of the exile narrative in first century Jewish understanding and how that played into the whole gospel narrative that was put together. Your eyes are glazing over, so I'm just going to quit talking about it.
I'm glad you like it.
It was.
I know other people like you like it, will like it too. I mean,
it's an interesting, it's not a book I'm going to recommend to anybody because it's interesting that it's the entire book is written basically as an answer to objections to the premise of the exile narrative being heavily influential on first century Judaism. It's absurd to me that these brilliant men have take issue with this. Nobody can deny the idea that exile was part of this narrative. They're questioning the extent to which exile would have been informing the gospel narrative. To me, it's a weird thing to have to write an entire book to answer a dumb question. But either way, these men are much smarter than me. So
but
I don't know.
The answers were interesting, I take it.
Well, the answers are very interesting. And the questions were very interesting, but perplexing to me because they were more grounded in a traditional perspective than they were in history. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
In other words, they were more interested in maintaining a narrative as we've understood it to be the gospel all these last 100 years or so, instead of looking at the historical context and framing our understanding it following the shape of the intended contours of what the story is supposed to be. Now you're squinting at me, so I went too far.
Really lost now.
Okay, never mind then.
But I'm sure that means something to someone.
Well, you know what
is that
it means.
Smarter
everybody,
than me.
No, everybody, you know what that means.
I'm glad you found something nice to read.
Yes, so a little light reading. Actually, it was the Have a Little Faith was light reading and just delightful for me. It was like a scrubber.
Yeah.
Just going in and kind of scrubbing out some gunk and just helping me relax.
I love that.
Really good.
That's worthwhile.
Yeah. So, in sports, what about you then?
There we go. This happened last time too, by the way. I wanted to share something. And I got skipped right by, so it's been scratched out from last month. And I'm going to mention it this month.
All right,
month.
So Thanks moving on.
I started listening to a new podcast, which...
reminds me of the podcast I've been
listening to. I figured, yeah.
I apologize.
No, it's VOM Podcast, the Voice of the Martyrs podcast. Oh. And I read Richard Wurmbrand's book, Wait, is it Voice of the Martyr? No, that's the organization.
Tortured for Christ.
Yeah, Tortured for Christ. Okay. And it's been a long time since I read it. I honestly just remember feeling very, very depressed. It was a very hopeless feeling book. And I apologize if not everybody's probably going to have the same reaction. So I was not super enthused about the podcast, but I thought, well, I'm going to give it a try. And I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They have a guest. I think it's once a week or every other week, I'm not sure, but they have a guest that comes from usually a persecuted country or had served in a persecuted country for some time. And they talk to them about their experiences there and how they were able to share Christ with people, how they endured persecution or their friends or family endured it. At the end, they always have a takeaway of something to pray for them about or the country that they've served in. It's incredibly uplifting and it's incredibly insightful into what our brothers and sisters are going through in other countries. And it is not depressing like I thought it would be.
Sure.
It was much more encouraging than I ever thought. And it's just been lovely. I've really, really enjoyed it.
Do you feel like it kind of puts things in perspective for
you
a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's what I think at the end of every time I listen to it. I'm just like, okay. I mean, I knew we lived in Disneyland. And again, there's no condemnation or any sense like that. But
I mean,
it's just
where
a
we live.
Perspective.
We live where
like,
we live.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a lot to be grateful for. But also, I think it encourages us to share Christ in our everyday life too.
Right on.
More confidently when we hear that, what others are doing and how they're living, and they're very real people. I think one of my pet peeves is just hyper religious people. That sounds terrible, but it's hard to, you don't always feel like you're connecting with a real person because
exactly
of the religious speak and that.
Nope, I
there's
agree.
None of that in that I've heard yet. And they just are honest, genuine believers. And
that's
and
really
I would
wonderful.
Encourage people to listen to that.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I really think that sort of thing is an important part of our diet.
Yes.
To help expand our understanding of Christianity as beyond the borders
of the
United States. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also to help put into perspective the troubles that we face. They're real troubles. The troubles we have are real troubles.
Absolutely.
But when we put it on, you know, on the backdrop of the larger picture of things that other people suffer, mm-hmm. It can help us to think, well, if my brothers and sisters can endure that, then mm-hmm. I can endure. Then I can
yes, definitely.
Overcome as well. Yep. So that's cool.
Very,
very
much
cool.
So. Yeah. Thanks. In sports news.
The thing I was ready to jump to.
Now we can
now we can
talk about it.
Sports.
Let's move on.
Well, yours was very good, and I'm so sorry.
No, that's
that
okay. That's all right.
I mean, when we're sitting here talking, naturally, I assume we're talking about me.
Yes.
But sports, yeah. Well, you know.
Baseball sports. Season's officially over.
It's completely over.
That's always a sad time.
Baseball is dead to me.
Well, it's always at the end of a confusing time when baseball and football overlap. And so we're very, the pacing of those games are so different.
It's a difficult clash.
We're very, this crossover is difficult time. That's all I know.
This
to say.
Crossover
yeah.
is difficult. It is difficult.
The pacing is very different on each one.
And it was a disappointing finish for both the teams that we really pull for. The Cubs obviously had their playoff hopes dashed.
They did. They were in wild card contention, and they lost 7 or 8 games in a row.
In a row. It was
and
bad.
They were losing sometimes against the teams that were vying for the other wild card or the division lead. And so, yeah, it just was lose-lose.
That was a mess. But, so what's the deal? You told me a little bit. I haven't looked at it myself at all.
Well, the bad news is that Joe's gone.
Joe Madden,
the general
for the Cubs.
Manager. The possibly hopeful news, and by next podcast, I'm sure they'll have a new manager. But one possibility is Rossi.
Woo-hoo!
Who was the catcher for the Cubs.
Of the 2016 World Series Championship team.
Rob, I told Rob that this morning when I was reading the story. He's like, I got goosebumps. That could help. That could help us get through.
It could. I mean, Rossi's an awesome player, and he's got a great camaraderie with this team that's still in place that could still win a World Series. So.
Mm-hmm. He's done some announcing, and so we've kind of seen him and heard him a little bit after he retired from the Cubs. They called him Grandpa Rossi.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really all that old, but he was older than
most
of the
players. Well,
he was
old for a baseball player, especially for a catcher who's got to get down in that squatting position for 3 hours. That's not easy. And then, of course, the Marlins, whom our son works for, they've finished out their season as well. They did not do great.
Not the Marlins, but... all the farm league teams.
But all the farm league teams. So what that means is that all
did very well.
Yeah, so all the teams that feed into that program are doing well, which means that, you know, down the line, this is a rebuilding system.
I forget how many
they got a good team in the wings.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry I interrupted
That's
you.
Fine.
I was just going to say there. I forget how many there are, you know, AA, AAA, single A, and others that feed into the Marlins, but 2 or 3 of those made it to the playoffs or won their playoff division. So our son was explaining that's good because that's
down
where
the line,
we're starting.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the future prospects of a team. So.
Yeah, and even though the Marlins ended with a pretty bad record for their division, they weren't the worst in both divisions if you put them together. But they had some amazing wins this year.
They really did.
If you take them on a game-by-game basis.
It was enjoyable stuff to watch.
Yeah, there was one game I think they were behind 7 or 8 points and they came back to win it.
7 or 8 what?
Runs.
Hopefully your dad's not listening.
I know. He always is correcting me on that. See, and sometimes when we watch football, I'll start calling him runs. No, runs. I have to sit there and think about it.
Yeah, so and then, yeah, as far as football goes... I'm still a holdout in my family, a guy that's going to root for the Colts, just because that was the team that, you know, that I was rooting for when I came out of the crazy church. And so it just kind of always
has a connection. Yeah, I think we'll always love the Colts. I do, too. And our kids are mostly Jags fans, but that's okay.
But that's okay. I'm coming around. I'm rooting for the Jags. No, I've been rooting. We had a great time watching last week's game. And so right now in our division, everybody's 2-2. It's a four-way tie in the division. So
the only thing with football for me, I just, every time I see an injury, I just
And the older I get, cringe, the more difficult it is to watch.
It is so much harder the older I get. Maybe because we feel the bones and the joints and all that. And it's just like, I don't know. I just, it's very hard to see.
I would be like,
there's been some serious injuries already.
And it's just not good. I wouldn't have been able to take the first hit out there. I mean, they would have come out with a scoop shovel and said, okay, that's enough for Rob Woodrum.
Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't connect with anybody, if you just fell on the ground. Even if like
just
it's
running
done.
On the field would have
that's
been
right.
it for me.
That's right.
They just dig a hole out there on the field. I'll run, fall into it, and they can just fill it in with dirt.
But speaking of our son, I did just want to mention, we do sometimes bring up things going on with our kids. I think we told you before, our older two kids just bought their first house a couple months ago, but now Bradley from the Marlins told us yesterday that they just got an offer that someone accepted their offer on a house down there in Jupiter.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for them.
We're excited for them.
I've come a long ways from being sad about them leaving, but I am happy for them. They've been renting a little apartment near his work, and they have a really cute little place that they're going to go to.
Yeah. And our grandson is staying there with them, moving into a house that they're owning,
which has an extra bedroom so that when we come visit, so that we can stay there.
Grandpa moves in.
That's right.
Nope. Grandpa's staying here. But so that's exciting for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing that has helped us a little bit, our family is divided between iPhone and Android phones. And the Apple people, we have a shared photo album that we can share pictures of grandkids and that kind of thing. But the Android users don't have those, can't participate in that. And so Janelle told us about an app recently called Marco Polo. And we all can get that because it's just
it's actually a fun little app. You get a little, it's just short little, kind of like a news story or whatever you'd get on Facebook or Instagram, but it's just a quick
video
clip you can do, or a text, and it goes to all of us.
Yeah. So you can make your groups a lot easier. So anyway, that's been nice too.
Yeah.
We've been getting clips of
feeling
little
a lot
Lincoln
more connected.
Playing T-ball now, and it just was too hard to do it the other way, before, you know, with the text. So that's helped a lot too. That's what's going on with the Woodrums.
Exciting. So, okay. So now you can just maybe rush right over and write that down in your diary.
We don't make any money from Marco Polo, but it's kind of cool.
Finally, I know what's happening with their kids. They bought a house. Yay.
If anyone ever wants to endorse this podcast.
Oh, you're still over on trying to commercialize this thing. Kind of monetize it.
Always.
Monetize.
Oh, you're silly.
So, Robbie, you got any kind of advice for us? People who don't know how to manage
just
money?
In general? Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you. That's where you come in.
Your skill set.
Okay.
You've got a unique skill set. What can you tell us about money?
Well,
what can you tell us about our own money?
Just introduce it a little longer. Sorry.
Let me just say... Go ahead.
You say you don't want to do this podcast sometimes, but I really doubt that one.
Once you
get behind a mic.
Fine.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention, I'm talking to our son. He's getting ready to graduate in December with his AA, and then he's going to move on to get his bachelor's. I think he's looking at a program at FSUPC that's a three-year program where you get your bachelor's and your master's in education. He wants to be a teacher. And so I've been thinking about that and all that's involved with it. But also, I know you all have heard me mention Dave Ramsey, but he has a partner.
Who is this? I
knew you couldn't
never
stay
heard
quiet.
Of this.
He has a partner that works with him called Anthony. His name is Anthony O'Neill, and he just wrote a book called Debt Free Degree. And so I really wanted to watch it. Last night they had like an online seminar where they talked about how to go to school debt free, and but he's got a book on it too. And so if anyone is getting ready to go to college, you obviously want to plan as early as you can. But there is a way to do it, and I would encourage everyone to be challenged by it and try it.
And that's a timely thing, because they say one of the biggest things that are facing millennials is the student debt that they're crushed with when they are done with college.
Really heavy. It's really. Yeah. But there are some employers that will help pay your tuition. I think my son, he works at Publix. He says that they do some tuition reimbursement, and so that's always a good thing. But they have a lot of different ideas in his book. And
oh, that sounds really helpful. Yeah. So if you're thinking about going to school, what's the name of the book again?
Debt-Free Degree by Anthony O'Neill.
All right. Check that out. And, and you can be smart and be cheap at the same time.
That's me. Right?
Well, I'd throw pretty in there, too.
Pretty smart.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cheap.
So, in case you don't know, for the last month, I have been on a sabbatical since September 10th.
Yeah.
Took off. The board agreed to this. And a sabbatical, in case you don't know what a sabbatical is.
Yeah, let's define it.
It's traditionally a time away from your normal work place. Oftentimes, it was reserved for the academic realm. Mm. Professors would take a sabbatical or... in some cases, a sabbatical would go for a year to for a month to a year.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are professors who've gone on sabbaticals to do archaeological digs, and that would take them away from their work for a year. I think the cat doesn't appreciate.
I'm sorry.
Talking
this
about
is like
this.
This is one of the things that happens.
It's like
I
a
forget
signal
to
that
put
goes
her
off.
Away. Yeah.
Stop. So. So that's what, and
well,
so
you kind of fit into that. I mean, you're definitely a teacher.
Well, it's also been something that has come over been brought over into the realm of the church. And there's a lot of different advocates for taking a sabbatical rest. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we saw that Jesus did with his disciples pretty regularly when they were ministering a lot is that they would get away. He would take them off to the wilderness. They'd just get away from the crowds, get away. Yeah,
it's important.
It is one of those things that when you spend a lot of time, you could say in academia and the discipline that it takes to study and to learn and to be able to present and to teach, that discipline is a unique discipline, and it can be wearing and difficult. Then you add on to that the kind of ministry that is associated with being a pastor, of caring for needs, praying for people. I'm someone who still does not have a great system for being able to separate myself from the issues that people come to me with.
Sure.
And so I carry a lot of stuff. And over time, that builds up. So in some churches, they've got a system where a pastor will work for 7 years and then get 1 year off.
Wow.
We would certainly never do anything like that, but it's a recommended process, and it's not a vacation. That's
right.
One of the things that people keep saying. I hope you're enjoying your time off, et cetera. And it is time off, but a sabbatical is something that is intentional. In other words, it's not it's something that you're pursuing something. You're pursuing a calming
something
of
else.
The soul. Yeah, exactly. And so. One of the things that I was looking at for my sabbatical is that I just knew that I needed to kind of get a change of pace, a change of scenery, a change of habit. So, because if you're someone who's like myself, has a process that I go through every week in terms of teaching and
as an artist, that can be a little wearing, I think, routine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sometimes need to just break things up.
Right. So I just decided, we didn't have it deeply planned out. Mm-hmm. It was something that had been building. I could just sense that things were problematic internally for me. And all I mean by that is that I just was feeling a level of anxiety that I normally didn't have. And and it was getting to the point where it was distressing. I was getting distressed almost about anything. And So if we can be self-aware enough and honest enough.
And proactive.
You know, right. I mean, the temptation would be to say, hey, well, we're Christians. We don't need anything like that. All you need is just more Holy Spirit and get back to work.
We're human, so.
Yeah. And if Jesus had to take time away and get a rest and get apart, then, I mean, who am I to say that I don't?
Right. I was appreciative that you were willing to admit that you needed some time away.
And I'm not good at it. I mean, you know I'm not. I'm not.
I do.
I'm not good at.
You're a very disciplined person, and you work hard to meet expectations. Not that necessarily others have put on you, but you put on yourself. Well, you know,
I think that there is an expectation that the Word has that you know for a calling like this, and so
yeah.
So, as I was thinking about what to do for a sabbatical, I just knew that I needed to have a change of scenery, mm-hmm. and I have a friend named Wes Harden who has who was a guy that was instrumental in teaching me how to airbrush back in the early 80s. He was an airbrush artist, airbrushing t-shirts down on the beach. Uh-huh. I used to do that back in the 80s. He's a guy who had gone to art school. He's a phenomenal artist. I mean, just an amazing commercial artist and
yes.
And fine artist. Mm-hmm. And I follow him on Instagram, and I've been for years just looking at him do these murals. He's been commissioned by various cities, towns, I should say, in rural Alabama and Georgia to do murals. He's got like 10 in Dothan. He's got several in a place called Union Springs. We went, there was a lot of
Andalusia.
Different places. Andalusia.
Op.
And so I asked him where they were, like in driving distance. I just texted him on Instagram, asked him where they were. And he gave me a couple cities, towns to go to. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of, you looked at it on the map and said, well, we can just take this route and go up there. We didn't mm-hmm. know where exactly the murals were, but it kind of became a sort of an Easter egg hunt. And I'll tell you, driving through those country roads in Alabama, I don't know, that was healing for me.
It was very therapeutic. I could sense that.
The weather was beautiful for us. We were on roads that nobody was on. I mean, mm-hmm. there were times we weren't passing cars or anything. So
yeah.
I could drive slowly, which if you know me, that is a weird thing. But it mm-hmm. felt so good just to slow down.
Yeah, you wanted to take the slow route. And the
I
long
did.
Route
and some of the beautiful hilly roads that we were on and the tree arches.
It's
gorgeous. Dappled sunlight coming through. And then you'd break out into an open field and there were cows milling around. It was just beautiful.
It really was. And we, every little town, if it was time to eat, we'd look for the number one rated local restaurant that we could find. And so we supported the local communities, and they were cute little restaurants. And
we were able to go then find these murals. And of course, mm-hmm. looking at them on Instagram is one thing, but then when I get up right close to it,
yeah, wanted to see them.
You were able to see the scale that he has to work in. Mm-hmm. There's a far cry from airbrushing t-shirts. He's pretty phenomenal. If you follow my Instagram account, which is just Rob Woodrum on Instagram, mm-hmm. You can see I posted some of the photos that we took on the trip of his murals, and then we met up with him.
Yeah, and his Instagram account is Wes Harden Designs.
It's actually Dim Designs, I think.
Dim,
it's
okay.
Wes at Dim Designs or something like that.
Okay.
If you look up Wes Harden, you'll find it.
Okay. Wanted to tell people in case.
Yeah, and he's worth following if you're interested in artwork, he'll show his process as he's going along. But we had a great day just hanging out with he and his assistant, and had lunch, and it was just, like I say, cleansing is the best way to word mm-hmm. it for me. Just being able to get away, slow the pace down,
mm-hmm.
and just be able to see such beautiful scenery, just rejoicing in God's creation. It was.
Yeah, that was very, very good. That
it was
a good way to start it.
It was.
I think we found whenever you do take any time away that just physically leaving the house is important to do early on. It helps disconnect from all the routine and
And that's what we were able to do there. And so we went and saw, that was our first little trip. Mm-hmm. So we went and saw those murals. Then we came home. I won't say his name just because I don't want to, because I didn't ask if I could say that, but somebody from the church has a cabin that it doesn't have air conditioning or anything. It's up north of here, about 45 minutes north of Panama City on a lake. And he just told me that, you know, if I needed it, I could use that and go pray. And oh my goodness,
the day you announced you were going on sabbatical, yeah, he came up to you. So I mean, you'd already planned it.
He gave me a key to it, and so I've been able to go up there and just have some great quiet time praying. And I'll tell you that it's been awesome. God has definitely met with me and encouraged me. And one of the things that I've been praying for has been just continued strength. I feel myself getting older. It's weird. When Eastgate started, man, I had nothing but energy.
And ideas and plans.
I was an idealist as well. And so I'm just going, and we were going nonstop. And with the coffee house and the church and everything, and I'm battling lately just that sense of fatigue, which was fueling anxiety for me. So I really feel like in those times of prayer, God's been able to refresh me and just give me a whole new passion for this. I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I'm excited about everything.
That's awesome.
The future holds for Eastgate.
And that's what you needed and wanted, was a renewed excitement and to be reinvigorated. And
it is. And God has absolutely done that in marvelous ways. Then we took another trip. We're kind of cruising around through Georgia. We went up to, I wanted to go see, we've made the trip to Jacksonville so many times to see our kids. And going through Tallahassee, there's this billboard for a car museum, but they advertise
a specific car always catches your eye.
So they have Batmobiles at this.
That's right.
Three different Batmobiles at this museum. And you may have gone there. What's it called? The Auto Museum, right?
Something like that. Something very, I didn't look that up, but it's like the automobile, you'll see the billboards, but Automobile Museum of Tallahassee or something kind of generic.
Honestly, even if you're not into cars, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, we kind of were joking that this is like somebody's hobby that got way out of hand.
Yeah, because it wasn't just cars. It maybe started with cars.
This guy
found a reason to collect
clubs,
stuff. Yeah.
Outboard motors.
And then just not full-size automobiles, but tiny little cars like
Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels and things like that.
And then patches. I think he had a collection of military patches.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, golf clubs and cash registers and sports memorabilia.
So many different. I mean, it
got to be a little overwhelming
point. In my mind, we were going to go in. I was going to see my Batmobiles, take some pictures, and bolt. But it took us an hour to go through there. And there was a lot of fascinating. I mean, just an immaculate collection of antique cars.
Yes.
And cars from our day.
We are like, we remember that one. Our friends had that one.
That's right. A 1979 Trans Am that was there that had 10 original miles.
That was fascinating.
That was.
And I don't think either one of us would be considered a car person, but they were still interesting in the history.
Sure.
And some of those old
big cars. They had a DeLorean.
Cars. Yeah, they had a DeLorean there. But I really like those old big cars too, like from the 50s.
Yeah, with the fins.
Mm-hmm.
That's when cars were manly.
They were pretty cool. Oh, the other thing he had a collection of was boat motors.
Outboard motors. That's what I was saying earlier.
Oh, did you say that?
Yeah,
okay.
It was odd. And a fascinating thing to collect.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't know. We didn't spend a lot of time there.
It was an outboard motor. Interesting.
But maybe, you know, I bet there are people that are really into it.
Yeah, and the Batmobiles were actually quite interesting too. One or two of them were like replicas, but several of them were actually used in the movies.
Yeah.
Because they build obviously more than one for each movie. So they're like, this is the second of five or whatever.
The one that was the second, the Batmobile that they had from Batman Returns was the second. If you're a Batman fan, it's definitely worth a $15 entry fee just to go see that.
Oh, they had the duck too, that the penguin
from Batman Returns, and that was an original.
That was
the original duck
one. Mm-hmm.
From that.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, enjoyed that. And so that was our second meandering trip. We just kind of went up through the rural roads of Georgia this time.
Mm-hmm.
Went up through Valdosta and
visited a couple old sites.
So one of the things, though, that we wanted to do on that trip, so there were some unique things that we were looking at. So in Tallahassee, in case you don't know.
Oh, this was so cool.
There is a memorial, a 9/11 memorial called the Whale Mourning Memorial. M-O-U-R-N, mourning. And an artist, after the attacks on 9/11, was so moved and hurt, and he got a couple artist friends together, and they built these whale sculptures in his front yard. It's just a private house, but these whale sculptures are beautiful.
Yeah, and I think there's a sign or two on his yard that says pray for peace.
Yeah.
And obviously this was something that brought him peace.
Yeah.
Peace of mind. And so it's these breaching whales coming out of his yard up in the air. And some of them are dolphin.
Yeah, there's
dolphin.
Little
dolphin, like the just the fluke or just the head, you know, whatever. But it and one of the things you read was accurate that it, because it's a private residence, you can't just like pull and it's on kind of a busy road, but across the street from it, you could park in the church parking lot and then see it really well. So we took some pictures from there, but oh my gosh, it was so cool.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, so if you're in Tallahassee cruising around at some point, check it out. Just Google search it. Mm-hmm. The 9/11 morning whales.
Yes. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. And so we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a couple other places that we went.
I think you picked those for me. They're spooky.
Well, because Robbie really has a fascination with abandoned buildings. And
I don't
know
why.
Janelle and I,
we just we send each other, oh, look at this one. Oh, my goodness. Sunken ships or abandoned buildings. Or, yeah. And so
but
you it, found
obviously,
a
you're not
local.
Alone because there's a TV show. Didn't we see
that's
a
right.
TV show?
Yeah, that's
something
of
Mysteries of the Abandoned
hey,
or something.
Hey, we need to set that up to record. But that has been, whenever I catch it, I'm like, oh, was it? record it. And usually, whoever's in the room with us does get interested enough to want to watch it.
Yeah. So we went to, turn of the century, one of the things that Florida was appealing to people for was the natural springs we had around
yes.
here.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to, there were two different sites where the natural springs had brought in tourists and things had developed. The one place we went, which was outside of Tallahassee.
Yeah. It was in Perry. It was actually pretty south, like another hour
Perry.
South.
Yeah, Perry. Yeah. And it was the Hampton
Hot Spring Hotel.
Yeah, Hampton Hot Springs Hotel. And it was a, was it Hot Springs or just Hampton Springs Hotel? It was just the springs. It was sulfuric springs.
Yeah.
That the Native Americans believed were helpful. And that, no.
That's the other
That's
one.
That's the other
That's
one.
The second place we went
this
to.
This guy, we discovered this on his property, this spring, and his wife suffered from
rheumatism.
And so he took some of this sulfuric water back to her, and supposedly she drank it and got better. So he started advertising that this was, you know, a miracle cure springs for everybody.
And the springs are still active. The hotel's gone. It's really in the middle of nowhere, and I just kept trying to imagine what this was like for people to come
at
get
the turn
to
of the century,
out in the country. And but there's little bits of the hotel left, not
just
I
the
mean,
foundation and the pool. And
the pool is still there.
You can still see the colonnade, the remains of the colonnades, and the walkways.
You can look some of that up on YouTube. But the water still, the water would run into the swimming pool.
Yeah,
and then it kind of it's right next to a river, and so then it would go out to that. But that was really cool to still see and smell.
Yeah,
it's quite an odor.
I feel like there's nothing, there's no medicinal value in
I don't
sulfur
think
water.
So.
That doesn't
we
make
were
any
talking
sense
to someone
to
about it, a couple of doctors the other day, and they both were just kind of like shaking their heads. Like,
but I mean, and they've disproved that over time, but for whatever reason, I guess I think because it was so visceral. You got something, you know, this isn't just water. Mm-hmm. You can smell the healing
this
in this
from
water.
The ground. Yes. Yeah. So the, like I said, the hotel's gone, but just trying to imagine it the way it was, because we had pictures on our phone. I'm like, I think this is where the front of it was. And it was backed up against this river, and it was giant. I mean, it housed a lot of people, and it was a very busy, very popular place for a long time. It burned down in 1954. And I remember you were kind of joking about it. It's like, well, people quit believing in it by the 40s. So that was probably just, you know, a financial.
It was probably a sinkhole
pain.
That they went ahead and just got the insurance money from.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
They never rebuilt it or anything, but they just left the skeleton of it.
But it's a pretty interesting. So if you're ever in Perry, Florida, it's worth just kind of exploring around. It's beautiful and peaceful.
Again, very beautiful countryside.
The river that meanders past it is just beautiful. Just old growth trees. And honestly felt dark down in there just because the trees, the canopy was so thick and the vines hanging down. It's just beautiful old Florida.
So from there, then we drove to, I can't remember the name of the town. It was probably at least an hour.
It was White Springs.
White Springs, Florida. Okay. And that place also had a sulfur springs, but it's dried up. It dried up some time ago.
And it was one that, as far back as the Native Americans who were there,
the ones,
they
yeah.
believed it had medicinal
they
quality.
They agreed not to fight and meet on that ground and
so
drink the water and use the water, bathe in it to help heal. They believed there were healing properties in it. And so that was like their neutral ground.
And the written information on this site is that it's the very first tourist site in Florida, that people were coming from all over the place to come, and they had these... have you ever seen the movie On the Road to Wellville? That's the whole, community kind of builds around this idea that you're going to get healthy here. So they had multiple decks built up around this pool that they had around
the
spring.
This was a much bigger pool. It was oval, and it was built up very high, and they've rebuilt all of that. So, but you can look at pictures of that too. And there was like all these deckings that people would just hang out and kind of look down at the pool, I guess.
I guess. I don't know.
And again, it was on a river, so a ferry would bring people often to this spot. Yeah.
It makes you think though about how like in the gospel accounts when Jesus finds the man by the pool of Siloam and that people would hang out there because they believed the waters were, the angel would trouble the waters
and then
get there was something, medicinally helpful about that. So you kind of see that we've kind of got a history. Humans have a history of being attracted to forms of water for help.
It's kind of hilarious too, because we walked around it and the pool is still there, but there used to be buildings on either side of it, like hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And there was a physician offices and that kind of thing. All that's gone. And I looked around at this and I said, yeah, Rob, Disney World's got nothing on this. But I mean, and again, it's out in the country, the middle of nowhere. I don't know where people parked. It actually encouraged the growth of four or five really nice hotels that were there, which I don't know if they're still there. I always said were little tiny motels. And
it's a, yeah, they were. And I think actually across from where the springs were, we saw some
one of
that looked
them.
Like the architecture could have been something that from at least the 30s.
Yeah, but it was like stepping back in time and just amazing to see what was valuable to people at one time and important. And
again, just beautiful scenery that is soul cleansing and wonderful. So I drove from there to Savannah. And Savannah,
which we'd never been to before.
I've never been there before. And of course, people have told me for years how beautiful the town is.
Mm-hmm.
But just phenomenal, really.
Yeah.
I always thought that it was like everybody compared it to St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nicer than St. Augustine.
It was nicer.
I like St. Augustine. But
yeah, it was, I think, bigger than St. Augustine, too, of course. We found basically the cheapest hotel there. It was called the Hotel Indigo, which I would really recommend.
It was nice. And it was
really
right next to City
it.
Market and just a lot of stuff
it
going on.
It was the River Walk.
Yeah, right next
to
the River
Walk. Just
a block
away. And then the City Market, where they kind of close off the streets and they have live music. And we were there on a Saturday and Sunday night. And so there was just people walking around the streets there and listening to music. And I know y'all know this, but where the streets come to intersections, they have these beautiful parks. I'd heard about that. I thought it was just going to be a pretty small landscaped square, but it's a big old park at almost everyone. Some were a little bigger than others, but they were huge and they were so pretty. And
there are sculptures everywhere. Mm-hmm. It just was, if you're in the mood to just kind of zen out and do some art, it
we
was a great. I was able to bring my travel sketchbook and do some drawing while we were there.
Yeah.
Went to a place called Abe's on Lincoln
that was cool.
Has just thousands of little drawings of Abraham Lincoln done on napkins.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there and got my napkin and drew Abraham Lincoln and put it up.
And I made sure I showed it off to all the staff, and they were super awed by it. Thought, this is the best one. This is so good.
That was bad.
No.
Because there were some
awesome.
Beautiful ones there. I mean, there were some dumb ones, but there were some really nice ones that I was impressed with.
Yeah.
Anyway, that cool. So that was a lot of fun.
Forsyth Park was another park. That was a 20-minute walk from our hotel, but that was really
In fact,
amazing.
We both lost weight on this. Just
we did.
Just from the walking.
Not from not eating, but just from walking everything off. Yeah, we parked our car and never got it out until we left. We just walked everywhere, which was fun.
It was. So doing some of that traveling was very important for me on this sabbatical. I just needed to be able to get that change of pace, to be able to kind of slow down and admire God's creation and go to a town that had roots. And one of the things that we did while we were there in Savannah that was, I found, moving and compelling and beautiful was to visit the First African Baptist Church in Savannah. And
they broadcast their services live on Facebook if anybody wants to watch it.
And they do a tour of the place that provides kind of the historical background of the church. It was moving. It was inspiring to me. When I look at the men and women who dedicated their lives to seeing to it that all of God's people have a place to gather and to meet, to worship God. It was
what was the stats on that? They are the oldest or the second oldest church on the East Coast. I don't remember the detail.
I don't. You're looking at me. That, okay. No, I know it was 1733. That's very, very old. There you old.
Go. Yes. Yeah, they met while the members were slaves, still slaves, and they couldn't meet in a building.
So they had to meet by on the riverbank. River. Mm-hmm. And
so they've been together as a group for many, many years, just didn't have a building right away. That was quite a feat.
So yeah, there was a lot of history that went into how it was that they were able to get that. Mm-hmm. A lot of persecution suffered, terrible, terrible persecution. Yeah. That was suffered by those who knew the right thing to do, to be able to establish a way for all of God's people to be able to meet. And so, you know, mm-hmm. It was costly, but yes. They got there. And it's a beautiful history. It's a beautiful story all the way around.
Yes.
So if you ever get a chance, if you're in Savannah, I highly recommend that. That's
yeah,
a great
you talk about putting things in perspective too, yeah. With what some of those pastors suffered and how old they were serving until they were 99 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, the founding pastor mm-hmm. didn't actually found the thing until he was 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And then at 70 years old, he starts this and then gets an interest in going over to Jamaica
yes.
to minister there. And I can't even imagine. I can't, mm-hmm. I mean, that was inspiring in yeah. and of itself that he was able to do this. And,
yeah.
So anyway, those were really, really helpful and beneficial things. Mm-hmm. The time spent in prayer has been irreplaceable. That mm-hmm. has been fantastic for me. And,
yeah.
And those are things I'm not going to necessarily be sharing. That's just stuff that God does. But I believe
well,
we'll
it's
all
for you, so.
Reap the benefits of it as we
yeah.
go along.
I know we will.
So, Robbie, a lot of times we like to do a quote. You got a quote by any chance?
I do. I often do C.S. Lewis, but I found an interesting quote from Billy Graham. You've probably heard it because you read a lot. But I like this. And it's,
you do read.
But this actually goes along really with what we're talking about, the church and the First Baptist Church, First African Baptist Church in Savannah. Anyway, this says, "We are the Bibles the world is reading. We are the creeds the world is needing. We are the sermons the world is heeding." I just thought that was really beautiful. And I mean, we talk about that concept all the time. I just thought it was worded
yeah,
very beautifully.
Good reminder of what our calling is mm-hmm. in this.
Yeah, we're people embodying, are noticing.
Yeah, that we're embodying all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And not to take for granted what impact our life can have on the world around us.
Yeah.
That's true. A good quote. I like that.
Good.
Good old Billy Graham.
So, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
It's not?
No, I mean, it's not a thing.
What is it?
Well, it's not a thing. Okay. I can tell you that much. It's not a thing. So, here, we'd like to examine some either misquotations of the Bible or misapplications of the mm-hmm. Bible that have created mindsets that are not necessarily harmonized with
yeah,
what the...
Or what they seem at first yeah, glance, maybe.
Yeah, with what Scripture is trying to tell us.
So what's on your mind this time?
Well, Philippians 4:13 says something. Philippians 4:13 says...
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's right. And so a lot of times when people are in... You know, they want something, or I know that in the context of the Word of Faith movement that we mm-hmm. were a part of, that was used a lot because we'd say things like faith comes in cans. I can do this. I yeah. can do anything that I need to do. I can.
It's like our hall pass. For
yeah, I can make anything happen. I can do, I can, you know, I can come up with whatever finances I need. I can mm-hmm. do all of this through Jesus. The problem with understanding that passage that way is that that's not what Paul was saying.
Oh, okay.
When Paul is saying, "I can do all things through Christ," if you look at the larger context of it, Paul is talking about, he's thanking the Philippian church for providing an offering to him. And he's talking about he's had hardships, but he's saying, "I'm not saying these things to you, you know, to try to get you to feel sorry for me or to," and this is my paraphrase of
right.
it, "to get you to feel sorry, give me more gifts." Because he says, "I've got what I need. I have learned to be content. in whatever state I'm in, whether I've got a lot of stuff or whether I've got a little, mm-hmm. whether I'm hungry or I'm really full, I've learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ. And you see the difference in that.
Yeah.
He's saying I can do all things. In other words, I can handle. I can live.
Learn to be abased. I can learn, like
that's
you
right.
said.
Okay. I can learn. I can be content. And it's specific. It's specific what it is that he's talking about. I can do all things means I can be content in any circumstance because I know who I am in God.
And that seems more challenging.
Well, it certainly does, doesn't it?
It does.
Rather than being able to, rather than being some sort of secret superpower that we can lock into and bend reality to our own will.
Yeah.
This becomes something where reality strikes and I can do it. Mm. I can do reality because the reality is I'm a child of God.
Yes.
And he loves me.
Well, I think the other interpretation is a very westernized kind of...
Yeah,
I can have it,
it
all,
is.
Basically.
It is.
I can be the boss. I can have
that's right.
this, that, and the other.
Nothing is going to be denied to me because I can get everything because
yeah.
I'm a Christian. Get out
have
of my
way.
So that's the thing that's not a thing. That thing.
Okay.
Philippians 4:13. So remember, it's about contentment. When we say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, what I mean is I can endure whatever this crazy world throws at me,
wow.
because I belong to Jesus.
That's huge, and that's bigger
it
than
is.
The other message.
Way
it's
bigger.
So much better.
It is. You know what, Robbie? I think that we've probably, I think we've probably stretched people's capacity to have grace for us to its limit.
Yep.
I think we did it.
We accomplished it. We can do all things.
We can do all things. We can annoy all people
That's
through
right.
Christ.
Done and done.
So, we don't want to keep you any longer than you should be. And
thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in. And now is the time to kind of shake off that sleepiness and face the day to do all things that are necessary to do. Hopefully you're not driving, but if you are, both hands on the wheel, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, stare straight ahead, but not zone out. Look
yeah.
at the cars and the people and react accordingly.
There's your driving advice.
That's
from
right.
Rob.
So I think we're going to wrap it up, and it was good to get back into the chair here and share life with Eastgate a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too.
So, speaking on Robbie's behalf, this is us at Eastgate, learning to love God, learning to love others.
This is our story so far.
We'll talk to you next time.
God bless you.
Music for the Wonder What podcast was written and performed by Scott Holmes, Kembo, Ketsa, Kevin MacLeod, and Jazar from the Free Music Archives. Wonder What is a podcast of Eastgate Christian Fellowship in Panama City Beach.
I'll go ahead and edit this out so you
okay.
can tell me what we're doing now.
Well, we have the volunteer highlight next.
Oh, okay.
Who wants to talk about it?
I'll ask you.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Hopefully nobody is listening to this part.
Okay.